chapter 1. The message today is visiting relatives. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Gabriel has already come and announced to Zacharias, the husband of Elizabeth, that she's going to have a son named John, and 5 months have transpired with her, and now, it says, in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And if you have modern translation, those words, blessed art thou among women, are not there. Let me say this now. They arbitrarily do it for this reason. There are 5 of the most ancient manuscripts, and 3 of the most ancient unshowed manuscripts have blessed art thou among women. 2 of them do not have it. Church fathers, 200 years before these manuscripts, put in blessed art thou among women, but they've decided that it shouldn't be there. So just remember, when you read your modern versions, look and see what the church fathers 200 years before these manuscripts they're following said, and then you may change your mind. All right. Blessed art thou among women. Verse 29. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Note that when he says, Hail thou that art highly favored, it's the same root word as in verse 30, where I've read it to you, thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which is begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. And they leave out also of thee. And behold, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, or thy cousin, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her that was called barren, for no word from God shall be void of power. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in these days, and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she lifted up her voice with a loud cry, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And which is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For behold, when the voice of thy salutation came into mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath looked upon the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that the messages that were given at the time of the birth of our Savior have been preserved for us, some of them. And we thank you for their fullness. We are thankful that though your Son said, no man knoweth the Son, we are thankful that we know of thee, Lord Jesus, because thy Spirit in the Scriptures has revealed to us something of thy fullness. And we do know that in you dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are thankful for the other things that we have learned from what we've read this day. So we desire to understand them, not in a sentimental way, our God, because of their association with a certain season, but our God, because they are part of the inspired word of God. And you are telling us concerning this one of whom man knows nothing unless it's revealed to him by the Father. So let us learn of your Son. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Visiting relatives. That can be taken two ways. Visiting relatives, it can mean that the relatives are visiting you, or it can mean you are visiting your relative. I purposely put it that way, because both are included. And another thing, because in the will of God, I will tell you some more about visiting relatives tonight. They're relatives of varying kinds and degrees. If you ask, what was the kin, the relationship between Mary and Elizabeth, no one is able to tell you. The word is a general word, and it simply means she was kin. She was her cousin. She may have been her aunt, but simply tells us she was kin. And so for that reason, some people we visit are kin to us by blood. They are blood kin. But then, there are some who visit us, and they are kin to us by marriage. They are called in-laws. And then, there are some who are a part of the family of God, and they are kin to us spiritually. In this instance, Mary and Elizabeth were kin both spiritually and also according to the flesh. And in this instance, it is Mary who comes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. So if you think a moment about visiting relatives, you have various emotional responses. If you knew that some of your relatives were coming to visit you, you'd be thrown into a fit of depression. And if you knew some of your relatives were coming to visit you, you would be filled with joy. But remember, the same thing is true if they heard that you, the relative, were going to visit them, the same thing could occur in their heart. And all of this is associated with what I had Alan to read, because you do not realize it, but what we have here is a visitation of Mary with her cousin Elizabeth for the purpose of fellowship. It says in Acts 2:42 that the ones that had received the message of Peter on the day of Pentecost, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And that is why I'm bringing this portion out today, because of the fellowship that was had between Mary and Elizabeth. Because during that visit, wonderful things passed between the two, that I would give everything I possess to know what they said with one another. And this visitation of the two is incomparable. There has never been another like it since the world began, and there shall never be another like it until the end of the world. Because you have two who are visiting one another, and both of them are miracles. Both of them are miraculously the child. If you think in the Old Testament, you think of two things when you hear about Zechariah and Elizabeth. You think, first of all, about the first high priest, Aaron, whose wife was Elizabeth. And then you think of Abraham and Sarah, because both of them were old and well advanced in days, and yet God had promised them a son. And when Sarah reached the age of 90, then that promise of God was fulfilled. And in like manner, Zechariah and Elizabeth, who had been praying and praying and praying, until probably the time with women had come to an end, and then Elizabeth would stop praying. But this had gone on, and to the amazement of Zechariah, Gabriel came and said, "Your supplication has been heard." I could think that if God heard it, he should have hurriedly done something about it. But what God did was purposely wait until it was impossible for Elizabeth to have children. It was impossible for Sarah to have children. And then man must confess, "This is of the Lord." If a woman is old, but she is still able to have children, then that's simply a coincidence. She is simply fortunate that she had a child in her old age. But when it ceases to be after the manner of women, and then women have children, then that is a miracle from God. And in the case of Mary, it was more than miraculous, because not only an old man and an old woman have a child, but a young woman who has never known a man has a child. Now, this is what brings about the visit between Mary and Elizabeth. Mary only knows one thing, that the angel Gabriel tells her that her cousin Elizabeth is with child, and it's now 6 months since she conceived, because, and this is what the angel Gabriel says, "No word of God is void of power." Zechariah thought that it was void of power. But Gabriel says, "No promise of God, nothing that God tells man is void of power." Now, let's see just why Mary would want to go and see her cousin Elizabeth. Here are two women, and it would be difficult enough for Elizabeth to explain to people, "How is it that you're with child? This is impossible." For her to say that my husband received a message from heaven through Gabriel, and I am miraculously with child, I wonder what people would say. But more than that, what if someone discovered that Mary was with child, and she said, "I am the child of the Holy Spirit"? You see the impossibility of that. Who would believe it? Even Joseph, her husband, would not believe such a thing. It required an angelic message from God in a dream to Joseph that he might understand what had happened to Mary was of the Holy Spirit. So here are two who are in the same condition, both with child, miraculously of God. To whom could Mary go and tell her story? You say, no one. Not even her husband. To no one. But could she go to her cousin Elizabeth, who had experienced a miracle herself from God, and find sympathy and understanding? You say, of course she could. And that is why she went. She went hurriedly. Understand the encouragement, the sign that Gabriel gave to Mary, even though she did not ask for one. When Zechariah was told he was going to have a son, he said, "How shall I know this? Now, I want some confirmation of this." and his other confirmation, he received condemnation, a judgment from angels, from the angel Gabriel, because he believed not the word that he spoke. But in this case, the sign that what has happened to her cousin Elizabeth is going to be proof that the same thing is going to happen to her. And so immediately she wants to go and visit with her cousin Elizabeth. Which brings us to this. How long do you like for people to visit with you? Some of them, if they come for a meal and then stay, etiquette says you should stay about an hour and then they could go. That is enough. But some come and stay a day. I remember that two in John chapter 1 visited Jesus and they stayed with him the rest of the day. Some stay a short time and some stay longer time. But in this instance, Mary stayed with her cousin Elizabeth 3 months. You say that's a long time for somebody to be around. Indeed, and I sympathize with you people, because when I came to stay in the past, I came to stay 1 or 2 months at a time. And there are some people in heaven that used to show me hospitality. And I would come, and somehow they allowed me to come. And I'm wondering what they were thinking, because we used to have dogs, and it's enough when I came, my dogs came, and all the other eccentric things, and they would put me up for 1 or 2 months. And at times, it was just because the husband wanted me to be there so he could talk over the Bible with me. I could sense that the wife would have been glad had I stayed somewhere else. But at least the husband was the head of the house, and I could stay a month or two at a time. And then some places I used to visit, I do not visit anymore, because the ones who used to keep me have died, and no one has been raised up to replace them, and so I do not go there anymore. But there are reasons that some want you to come. It's evident to me. It's not because of my scintillating personality, things of that nature. Why is he here? He will preach us the word of God. There are many things that can get you into a person's home. And I say 1 or 2 months, but that is nothing. There was an old brother named Rose, and he came to our home, and we thought it was going to be for a few days, and it turned out to be a few weeks. And the only reason he ever left is he heard of another opening in the mountains, and he went and stayed with his brother 6 months. And so this is what happened. Sometimes people come and stay for a day, and sometimes they stay for months, and sometimes they come to stay, and they never go away. And you're glad of that, because this man that came and stayed 6 months, I assure you that he earned his reward. He was knowledgeable about almost anything, historically, geographically, biblically, and he would sit down and talk to you by the hour. And even though it would become burdensome at times, you were being educated when you listened to that man. And so there are benefits. It says this, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. And so there are some people, and if you do not have them, well, there is a void. There is cleanness. There is no attention that you have to pay them. But then, if they are there, much increase, things of God, are your blessing by having them in your home. And so, this is fellowship. And at this time, there were only two people on earth that could understand one another. And that was Mary and her cousin, Elizabeth. And so she went to visit with her. And it was perfect sympathy. And here is what I want you to understand, all of you who say that you are children of God. You need the fellowship of the saints. But why is it that when you think of being with someone and having fellowship, it's some unsafe person that you want to go and visit. It's some place of the world that you want to go and get your entertainment and your fellowship. Why is that? In the case of Mary and Elizabeth, I know why they wanted to be together. They were life, both in the same condition. Now, if I go and visit unsaved people and I make this confession, I remember a friend named Eddie Sexton. And to my knowledge, he was not a child of God. I can hardly remember when he didn't have a bottle of beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other, but I enjoyed visiting the man. But he was never able to tell me anything about the Lord. But when I went to visit him, I went to tell him about the Savior. But in the case of Elizabeth, she could tell how God had worked in her life, in her body. And Mary could tell how God had worked in her life, in her body. They had something in common. What fellowship hath light with darkness? None. But what fellowship hath light with light? All. Together they could give to each other. They could share with one another and encourage with one another. And that is what is essential for the people of God. But you wonder why you are weak in the faith and why you do not understand the Word of God. You are not around people who know the Word of God, who are at ease when you talk about the Word of God. And so that is why. But there's no doubt to me that as to what happened to Mary and Elizabeth, they could talk to each other 3 months or 3 years and never tire of the subject. Think of what Mary could tell Elizabeth, and Elizabeth could tell Mary. And what is so important is this, that you would think that when some person that knows more than you, that is more exalted than you, that when they came, they would bring the blessing, but there would be nothing in store for them. But that's wrong. If you read in Romans chapter 1, it is so difficult to comprehend that Paul would write, "I desire to come and impart to you some spiritual blessing. I want to give you something." And then he adds, "That is, that when I come to you, your faith and mine shall be interchanged, and I shall be blessed by you as well as you're being blessed by me." Who could conceive of such a thing? What am I going to give to the Apostle Paul if he came to visit me? But he said to the Romans, he said, "I'm coming to give you something. Yes, I can understand that. But at the same time, when I come, you are going to give something to me as well." And so let me ask you this. If Christians came to see you, what could you give them? What spiritual enlightenment could you give them? Are they going to be more informed about the Lord Jesus when they're with you? Will they see the presence of light of Christ in you when they come to visit you? Or are you one that always must go, such as in Galatians 6? It says, "If any brother be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual will restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." Or the people have to come to you because you are cold of heart, you are backslidden, there is something that you've done wrong and they have to come. Or can they go and visit you on equal terms and you have something to give them? They can see Christ in you as well as you are seeing Christ in them and being blessed by the Word of God. That is what is needed among us. And that is one of those four things in Acts chapter 2. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayer. And I understand it, and I was rebuked by a little girl about 6 years old. She's not up here, but it was Heidi. Years ago, I was with the Harpers, and the Pullins were upstairs fellowshipping with the Harpers, and they were having a good time. And I was downstairs in my room studying, and a little knock comes on the door, and Heidi sticks her head in and says, "Uncle John, why don't you come upstairs and visit with us for a while?" And so I said, "Yes, darling, I'll be right up." Who could refuse such an invitation? And so somehow she was put up to it, or else she wanted me to come up and visit with them. And so that is what I did. And that is what we need. But if people do visit you, let it be that God has done something in you, through you, with you. Let them be able to impart something to you. Listen to what it says about Ezra. Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. Let me give you an example. It happened just 2 nights ago. I came into the door of a friend of ours in Maryland, And as I came in, Craig Shikharji was leaving to go and be with the young people at Greenwood Hills. And he said, "Uncle John, what do you know about the book of Joshua?" I said, "Sit down." And he was ready to go, but for about 20 minutes, I covered everything that he asked me. He said, "Thank you, I'm ready, Uncle John," and he left. And so I rejoiced. And you just happened to tell me that I'm to speak on Joshua 5 this coming Wednesday. But I had something to give him, and I rejoiced because of the life that he lives for God, and he was growing up as a young man to help the young people at Greenwood Hills. Now tell me, when people come to your home, is it a joy to be with you? Or if the word of God comes up, there are silences, there are embarrassments. If they speak to you, is it as an equal? Because there are those who know less than you, who are more spiritual than you are, more Christ-like, or whatever. When you come with the people of God, then have something to give to the people of God, to give as well as to receive. And this is why Elizabeth and Mary were so suitable for one another. Listen to what it says in 1 John chapter 1. "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you also, that you may have fellowship with us. Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." He says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you." John had something to tell the people. And he was telling them, why? That they might have fellowship with us. And that is what God wants. Let me tell you this verse. In the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, it says, "They then that feared the Lord spake often one with another. And the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before them for those that feared the Lord and trembled at his name." When people talk about the Savior, it said God was listening. And so when you have conversations with people that come to your home, God is listening. And what could God write in a book that is of value that you fellowship with your friends about? What? And at the same time, when God makes up his jewels, would it be because of something that you said, something that you received, the fellowship that you had with the people of God? That is the way that it was in New Testament times at the first. But now, we are islands unto ourselves. I don't need you. You don't need me. That's the way we feel. But we do need one another. And this is what I find. I find that the scriptures are filled with exhortations to help one another. That portion about the coming of our Lord, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And when he comes, we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll ever be with the Lord." And it says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." The loved ones had died, and they were concerned if they would come in on the kingdom when Christ returned. And they are told that they are going to come in on the kingdom and to comfort one another with these words. And it says in Hebrews, and it says also in Thessalonians, that we are to exhort one another, and we are to build up one another, and we are to impart to others some blessing that God has given us. Now, are you able to do that? What blessing, what comfort, what exhortation, what example could you be to the people of God? Think. Here is Elizabeth, and she was called by God righteous, walking in all the commandments of the law. And here is Mary, and she was worthy of God. And the things that are spoken concerning her are both angelic and they are human. At the same time, Gabriel has things to say about Mary, and also Elizabeth has things to say about Mary. The angel says this, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And what is of interest is that what Gabriel said, Elizabeth said as well. "Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb." You get the greatest amount of theology from the conversation that goes on between Elizabeth and Mary. If I ask you, who's the first one who ever confessed that Jesus Christ was Lord? It was Elizabeth when our Savior was 1 month old in the womb. And so let that be a commentary on all of those who speak about These things in the womb aren't human beings. The Lord Jesus Christ is acknowledged as Lord when he is 1 month old in the womb of Mary. And at the same time, even though this is inconceivable, what understanding could an infant in the womb 6 months old know about the presence of Jesus Christ 1 month old? These are mysteries transcending our comprehension, but God has told us. And not only that, but when we have fellowship one with another, as Mary with Elizabeth, we learn about the personalities, the character of these two persons. Think of Mary's humility. What Gabriel has told her is this: of all women, you are the most blessed. Blessed art thou among women. Why? Because God has looked down, and of all mankind on earth, you are the only one that he could choose to carry out his will of bringing his son into the world. Because there were so many qualifications. Of course, there had to be the purity, but there had to be this genealogical association. At the same time, there had to be the willingness. Think, that's why when Gabriel speaks to her, blessed art thou among women, the Lord is with thee. You are highly favored. And so being highly favored means being chosen to be the mother of God manifest in the flesh. And this is going to cause shame and ridicule and insult. But immediately Gabriel says, the Lord is with thee. And what he meant by saying, hail thou that art highly favored, it is explained when Gabriel says this. It speaks of grace, and it speaks about her being the mother of the Lord Jesus, and that is what it means to be highly favored. The grace of God is with her because of all womankind, she is the one that was chosen by God, and that is unique. You see, you can have an old woman such as Sarah to have a son like Isaac, but you could have another old woman like Elizabeth to have a son like John the Baptist, but you can never have another woman like Mary to bring forth the Lord Jesus. And what happens is this, and this is thrilling, that all the things that Elizabeth says concerning Mary are under inspiration of the Spirit and are revealed to her by the Spirit, because she knew nothing about Mary's condition of being the child. But she's filled with the Holy Spirit and she gives utterance. And this is what I find about her. That whereas Mary was indeed humble and willing to accept the will of God for her life, at the same time, Elizabeth was quite prepared to take her place as lower than that of Mary, because she marvels when Mary comes to visit her, how is it that you, the mother of my Lord, have condescended to come and visit me? And like mother, like son, why? I would think that if someone said concerning a child that I was to have, he is among the prophets that God has given, and there is none greater than John the Baptist. Think of what Elizabeth would say. I brought into the world a son, and there's no greater than John the Baptist. And yet, when she is in the presence of the Lord Jesus, she condescends and says, the mother of my Lord. And the same thing happened in her son, when others would exalt John the Baptist at the expense of Christ. But John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. And we find something about the character of Mary and the character of Elizabeth as well. And all of this occurs when there is the fellowship of the saints. And I told you, the little girl said, why don't you come up and visit with us for a while? Well, by God's grace, may I visit you and may you visit me. And when we come together, may we have something that God has done in our lives for his glory that will encourage and strengthen you and me. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the fellowship of the saints. We could wish that there were some women around like Mary and Elizabeth. And we could wish that there were some men around like John, the beloved apostle, and Peter. But our Father, even though we are less than they, still, we have continued on in the things of God, and we are still of the family of God. And so let us find, in this world, may Jonathan find a David, and may Mary find an Elizabeth, and may Paul, find Timothy, and may we find those that can help us and share with us and encourage us and help us as we go through this present evil world. Help us to enjoy the fellowship of the saints. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.